I'd like to share with you the gospel lesson for today. And as you turn to John 17:20, let me tell you that this is John's version of the Lord's Prayer. We know that John is unique in many of his accounts of Jesus and his ministry and his life and activities and relationships with the disciples especially. In Matthew and Mark, I believe, we have, it's Matthew and Luke, we have two versions of Jesus, what we call the Jesus Prayer or the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father that we say so often. And it's just about three or four verses long. In John 17, we have Jesus' Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of John, and it's a whole chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing, but it is profound, and I recommend it to you as a reflection on your own praying, to see how Jesus prayed, how intimately and how closely with God, His Father, and how close they are, how conversational this prayer is. I would like to begin with verse 20. And in this passage, Jesus is praying for the people of the world. Not just for His disciples, not just for His own family or His own neighbors, but all the people of the world. And if that's not a big enough concept for you, Jesus is also praying for disciples across eternity. In this prayer, He specifically says, not just those, bless those, Father, who come to believe in Me, but all of those who will come to believe in Me. That's pretty profound, because that's a prayer that goes across the centuries and continues to go way into the future. I invite you to listen to these words and know that this is Jesus praying. And hear in these words a word that will help you to pray and be more close to God through Jesus Christ. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of all of those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one. As You, Father, are in Me, and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that You have sent Me, and that You have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I desire those also whom You have given to Me, that they may be with Me wherever I am, that they may see My glory, which You have given Me, because You loved Me from the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know You, but I know You, and these know that You have sent Me. I made Your name known to them, and I will make it known again, so that the love with which You and I have, the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We may come to call this the Jesus Prayer. It's very eternal. And I don't know if you've pondered this. If you've been around me much, you probably have, because I've mentioned it in several groups, but we think of the eternal as something that lasts forever, on and on and on and on. And the King James Version of the Scriptures has not done us a favor there, because the word used instead of eternal there is everlasting. And that seems rather one-directional. It's as though something begins and it lasts then forever. That's quite a concept, really. Eternity. Everlasting life. But everlasting is sort of in time, and eternal is outside of time. And John gives us this big word, eternal. It's a smaller word, but it's a bigger concept. And by the way, eternal does not just mean starting now and going forward. Eternity is in the past as well. And so it goes both directions. And I think if you want to really complicate things, you can understand that it's vertical and horizontal as well. And that God's heaven and our earth and all that is in us and all that we know is all one. Jesus seems to get that in this passage, because he talks about his disciples of all past and all future being one. And he's praying to his Father, saying, as you and I are one, let them be one with us. This is really, really hard to get our heads wrapped around. This Jesus prayer, this insight that we have. I don't know how John got this. He must have been close by. And he heard what Jesus said. Or maybe Jesus and he were close enough that Jesus shared some of it with him. But John has given us this uniquely, and it is the Lord's Prayer, in his opinion. Very much different and much deeper and broader and taller than the Our Father, which we say, which we cherish so dearly. So far, that's the first sentence of my sermon. But it's profound, and it's hard to explain. It's hard to get our heads wrapped around it. But it's important to understand how Jesus and God are related to each other, how Jesus and the Father are connected through all time and space. So this month we are pondering the five parts of our stewardship. We have five Sundays in October. And you remember those words that we assert and that we commit to when we join this congregation or any United Methodist family of faith. We will support and uphold the ministry and the work of this congregation with our prayers, our presence. These are attending, our being here, our giving, our serving, and our witness of faith. Those five things, and those are the five parts of our stewardship that we're going to talk about this month. So today, you can guess it, we're talking about prayers. Our prayers. I think there's a phrase that hasn't done us much good that is very commonly used, and it says it's about saying your prayers. And if we think of our prayers as just words that we say, then we say them and we're done and we go on to the next thing. But prayer is not just speaking to God. Prayer is listening to God. And I am of the opinion, and I do it when I'm at my best, I'm of the opinion that when we pray, we pour our hearts out to God, and then we should listen and wait. We should wait for answers. We should wait and watch and hope and know with confidence that God hears us and that God will answer. It may not be in an instant, and it may not be in the way that we have hoped for or asked for, but it will be in a way that is profound if we are paying attention enough to get to it. it will be a way to fix things that may involve you, the prayer. You're praying for God to do something, and God may just say, I need your help. Let's cooperate and fix this. Huh. Not that you answer your own prayers, but you may participate in the answer. And how you proceed, how you act may influence the outcome along with God's inspiration. When we talk about the vows, we know that we all find ways to be generous and give forward, maybe not consistently, but the church needs that for the life and ministries and the ministries that we support across the United Methodist Connection. We must continue our giving, our generous giving. Some of that goes to support the mission and ministry right here in this community, this congregation. Feet on the ground right here in Bridgeport. You see some of that. That's a pretty good example to say feet on the ground, eyes on the Lord, feet on the ground and faces to our community. Open hearts and open doors. And you know it goes both ways. We say those words and think we're talking about people coming into our doors here. But we go out through the same doors. So open doors ministry doesn't just mean people are welcome to come here. It means we are welcome to go out into the world and be the face of Christ and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Today is World Communion Sunday. We can't fix the world. Let's just admit that. We can't fix it. But we are called to fix the parts of it that each of us can reach, starting at our own kitchen tables. Lots of families don't do the kitchen table or the dining room anymore. But you do. Even if you're a family of one, you do. You sit at the table. And it's especially true if you're a family of four or five or even six. We sit together, I hope. We turn off the distractions and talk about our day. If you don't do that, do it. Eating is not just about getting food. It's about feeding each other. It's about listening and being food for each other. We take time to come to the communion table today and make it sacred. Jesus and the disciples were having a common meal, common in the sense of every day, because bread and wine is what they ate. They didn't rush out and get something special for this moment. They used what they had on the table. Oh, we eat every day. But do we feed one another every day? Feeding your babies is one thing, and it's important. But feeding your family, your kids, your teens' friends, that's far more involved than just calories or nourishment. It's about feeding souls and spirits. It's about connections and roots. It's about listening and struggling and being related, sometimes hurting, sometimes laughing, hearing them and encouraging and praying and staying with them. It's about coming to the table. For the community of the church, there is this symbolic meal, this communing with Christ, being one. Ah, that takes us back to the prayer in John. Let them be one with me, Father, even as you and I are one. When we share a meal together, we can experience a little bit of that oneness. And when we come to the table, it's especially true. It's a struggling and a suffering and a feeling of life together. Even in the conversations that we have, we feed and nourish one another as we talk and as we listen. Not just an individual thing about getting food. There's a whole controversy in the Corinthian letters in the New Testament about how the church was acting about coming to the communion table. It was like everybody was rushing up there to get theirs first. And Paul lambasts them and says, you don't need to be competing with each other to come to the table. There's plenty. And it's a sacred moment. You share it. It's not just about being fed. You know how some people say about a particular church, oh, I'm looking for a new church home. I'm just not being fed there. Well, maybe it's when you feed others that you find yourself growing and being fed. Maybe it's not about being fed, but it's rather about feeding. It's about feeding, serving, and lifting others. It's about raising one another. In the same sense that we talk about raising kids. Not just about being raised, but about raising people and lifting them into the presence of Christ. It's about praying that like Jesus did, that all may be one, that all may be well in the world, and it's not. It's about offering what we have in the tradition of Jesus and setting the table for one more. Whether it's this table or your table at home. That all sounds good. I know. But how do we live it? Shall we actually do it? We are actually doing it. Every moment we listen to our children or any children, and when we do it well, we raise their value in our own eyes. When we do it poorly, we lower their value and we lower their confidence in us. Some of us have the privilege of applying this to our grandchildren. If you don't have grandchildren or kids, you can probably find some to borrow. Or teach a Sunday school class. Or do something to come into a circle with a family who has children. Neighbors, friends. As a church, we affirm children and families. We don't just hire someone to do our children's ministry. We hire someone to be our guide and to bring direction. But we do the work. There was a beautiful example of that this summer in our vacation Bible school because a lot of people were here doing the work. Every one of us shares the responsibility of the community, this community of faith, so that we all smile and pay attention and walk the same path. Don't walk around frowning and being grouchy like children or a bother. There's a reason that God calls us all children. Not just because we are small compared to God, but because we are needy. Some children don't have great parents. So you be their parent. Be a mentor. Just look at them and acknowledge their presence. Tell them they run well or have a nice smile or acknowledge how they show their care. You do that and their care and the ways they show it will multiply. When I make my way to the concession stand at a Friday night home football game, it's not just about getting a cup of coffee or a Diet Coke. It's about seeing people. It's about affirming all those kids, those little ones, those children I meet on the way. Affirming them, the children and the youth, with a smile. And an acknowledgement that they are a person and that they matter. That they're noticed. And that they are worth a nod or a smile or at least an affirming eye-to-eye contact. Our world is too distant. We can be right next to each other and not treat each other like the divine, inspired creatures that we are. Some of those kids have been yelled at more than they've been smiled at or looked at. Life is a community and we're all in it. but by acknowledging each other, even the stranger, or one who seems to be a stranger, we come to some agreement on other matters. Some of them won't make eye contact with an adult. Perhaps the adults in their lives have disappointed them, or worse. A good, wholesome, affirming smile and a confident acknowledgement that we're on a path together and that neither of us is alone can be reassuring. If we don't do this even with our own kids, how can we have any hope for the world? Feeding them, clothing them, keeping them safe, those things are important, but they just set the stage for the kind of long-term growing and caring that the church is called to do with all of our children. You may not have kids, or yours may be grown and gone, but we've all got kids. Thanks to the work of Gabe and Marlo and their teams, we've got kids. Some of them were here for an all-night event this weekend. And we have no choice but to influence them. What will they learn from us? What will they learn from you? What will they take away from the encounter? Even just a glance and a smile. When you come to this table, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about the common place where we stand in a circle and face out to the world. It's about being fed and then turning outward to feed someone else. This table is about family. But it's bigger than just us. It's Christ's family. If any churches anywhere honor the sacraments, if any church anywhere shares communion anytime, they are doing it today with us on World Communion Sunday. So when you kneel here today, you're kneeling at the table with thousands, 10,000s, hundreds of thousands, millions, literally millions of disciples around the planet who do this today. It may give us something common to share, but at least it gives us a place to stand where we are not alone, but share the gift of Jesus with one another.